Hello and welcome to the South Carolina Lead. You trust a lead to keep you up to date on important state news, and we'll be doing that more regularly as our state faces the COVID-19 virus. I'm your host, Gavin Jackson, and this episode was recorded on April 10th, 2020, from my home office. AT and I are on FaceTime right now. He's in a mug. And just so you know, some of this information in the podcast may have changed by the time you've heard it. This podcast is filled with South Carolina COVID-19 news and stories that matter to you, your family, and fellow South Carolinians during this uncertain time. Each episode is structured to give you the latest news up front, followed by additional context, on-the-ground reporting, and also your voices. Yes, we want you to send us voice messages. And we end it all with a little bit of a wind down. And like I mentioned, we set up a voicemail box to hear from y'all about your daily life, what you're doing to get by, and give us some tips or things you want us to know about. You can also enlighten us about how self-isolation's working for you. Maybe you got bangs. Maybe you bleached your hair. Send us a photo and also leave us a message at 803-563-7169. That's right, leave us about a 1 minute long voicemail with your name, where you're from, and what's going on at 803-563-7169. So let's start off with the latest numbers. Currently in South Carolina, there have been 72 deaths and 3,065 cases of COVID-19 reported in all 46 counties as of April 10th at 4 p.m. Now here's something. On Sunday, we crossed 2,000 cases and recorded 44 deaths. Today, Friday, we have surpassed 3,000 cases and 28 more people have died. Some more stats. It took us 26 days to reach 1,000 cases, 5 days to reach 2,000, and another 5 to reach 3,000. So we're not seeing that exponential growth again this week, but still, some big numbers right there. And other numbers, too. We look at our weekly average of new daily cases so far this week, and that's 192 per day. So that is more than last week of 187 per day, but we still haven't factored in Saturday's numbers, so I'm still going to think it's going to be up over last week. So a lot to look at there, but clearly, social distancing is happening and it's making a difference, so keep it up, South Carolina. Let's pick up our politics section where we left off on Wednesday. No continuing resolution has been sent to the governor for his signature, and no sign-e-die resolution, which allows lawmakers to return after session ends May 14th, was passed by both chambers either. That's right, lawmakers came back in the middle of a pandemic, each chamber passed their own funding measure, and that was it. That's because the Senate spent more than 5 hours going back and forth over restrictions involving Santee Cooper, whereas the House passed their funding measure easily within an hour. They understandably weren't keen to wait around in the confined chamber for any longer than they had to, so they bounced, leaving the Senate to deliberate and at times even fight over who is a more pro-life Republican. Yep, they managed to get a little bit of everything into their debate on Wednesday. And again, a reminder, there is no continuing resolution, and we're 82 days away from a new budget year. I'm actually old enough to remember back 23 days ago when it was Senate Democrats who blocked voting on a continuing resolution. So now either House lawmakers return to approve the Senate measure and the sign-e-die resolution, or they wait for the governor, who praised the House's work, not the Senate's, to call them back after May 14th, which is when session actually ends. I wouldn't be surprised if it's the latter, and in this case, I'm thinking like 5:01 p.m. on May 14th. Now, we'll see about that. All this being said, it's highly unlikely that the government will shut down and the state will grind to a halt. Also, switching gears, remember how the House passed a $10 billion budget in March when we had some extra $1.8 billion? Well, that's out the window, obviously. And if you listen to our continuing resolution discussion, you know that they're not really going to pass a budget until later this year. But whatever happened to that extra $1.8 billion? Well, state economists say that's now about an extra $750 million after they revised their revenue estimates this week. Not too shabby compared to the fiscal straits some other states are in, and obviously all of this has postponed big budget priorities such as pay raises for teachers, state employees, $100 million for state prisons, and so many more budget projects. Now again, these are estimates when it comes down to revenue, but it is worth pointing out that the pain from this is happening in the last quarter of the state's fiscal year. How bad it becomes and for how long is still unknown. leading off our economic section are some trash unemployment numbers. Yes, that's the only way we can describe it because they are simply horrible. And I hate that we have to talk about them in the unfortunate circumstances so many of us find ourselves in. Unemployment claims were released on Thursday that show 10% of the nation's workforce is now unemployed. That's some 16.6 million Americans. Closer to home, we saw 85,000 South Carolinians file for unemployment benefits for the week ending April 4th, bringing our total to 181,000 claims for the past 3 weeks. Furthermore, the State Department of Employment and Workforce continues to build its capacity to handle the absolute crush of claimants. That includes resolving issues with AT&T over its tel claim issues. They had to double the number of their servers twice. And they've also put out emergency bids for call center services and a website chatbot. Again, we're in record territory here, folks. And Dew's doing the best they can. They've actually been interacting very well on Twitter if you're trying to get through to them. But Dew has said it has received some of the critical guidance from the Department of Labor for state implementation of the CARES Act, which it's reviewing now so it can begin system upgrades and implementation of expanded eligibility. Now, also, the agency encourages individuals who are self-employed, work for nonprofits, their gig workers, etc., who have exhausted benefits to file in anticipation of the additional $600 weekly payments to be made available under the CARES Act. Now, there's a good link in our show notes that you can find in seetv.org/sclead, and you can find those details in the link and more information on how to apply for those. On This Week in South Carolina, I asked Joey Von Nessen, one of the state's top research economists who teaches at the USC Darla Moore School of Business, what these numbers mean for our economy going forward.
Well, I think we have to put this in perspective because this is a very different contraction period than what we normally see in a more normal economic contraction or recession. And it's more akin to a natural disaster like a hurricane because, to put it in perspective for South Carolina, during the Great Recession, we peaked out at about 10,000 unemployment insurance claims per week, but that lasted for well over a year, so a very long intensity. And by contrast, so far, we've seen an average of about 60,000 unemployment insurance claims per week since the governor initiated his emergency declaration. So that's far more intense than we're used to seeing, but there are many reasons to think why the time frame will be much shorter. So more intense, but the time duration will be likely shorter. So just a very different phenomenon from the normal economic contractions that we're used to seeing. And there are basically two realistic paths to economic recovery that we are anticipating. Sort of the more optimistic scenario is if the pandemic begins to abate before the summer begins, before Memorial Day, and the less optimistic scenario is if it extends into the summer, where we would see more bankruptcies among small businesses that are having to hold out. And that would potentially move the recovery from the second half of 2020 to early 2021. So broadly speaking, those are really the bookends or the range in terms of what we're thinking based on what we know now in terms of what the economic recovery will look like. But the silver lining with these unemployment data is that a large majority, about 80%, look to be temporary in nature. That is, they are being reported as temporary layoffs as opposed to permanent job losses, which suggests that once the pandemic abates, that we will see a rapid recovery and rapid rehiring. But again, that depends on the length of time, because as we move into the summer months, if we don't see the social distancing relaxed, a lot of these smaller businesses can't really hold out. They don't have the financial or the capital resources to do so. So we may see a series of bankruptcies that would create a new round of layoffs and a new round of ripple effects that could extend this further. So it really depends on how long the social distancing is required to be maintained.
The last time we talked was in January, and it was right before Volvo announced a big $600 million investment in a new electric vehicle battery plant in South Carolina, which they expect to come online in 2022. I'm wondering, you know, you consult on some of these big economic development projects in South Carolina for the state. I'm wondering, when we look at that kind of project, when we look at other, you know, expansions or perhaps other economic development projects coming to the state, you know, what does all this economic slowdown mean? Does it just kind of hit pause for some of these companies? Does it just rule out the entire possibility of reinvestment for some companies? How do you weigh that in the current situation?
Well, I think your term, a pause on economic activity, is the most accurate. I think that really sums it up well, because it is a pause. Everybody is waiting to see what happens with the pandemic, with the social distancing that's required. But the Department of Commerce, for example, is continuing to see interest from companies in looking at site selection opportunities, for example. And that's been going on despite the social distancing, despite everything else that's going on right now. So for looking ahead long term, things are still continuing to progress. South Carolina is still at a competitive advantage, and companies see that. So I think we'll continue to see the investments here that we have come to expect because of the resources that South Carolina offers and the competitive strengths that we have. I don't see that really changing. I think it's more of that pause because much of the American economy is on hold. And for larger businesses, they're trying to wait it out. And for small businesses, they're doing the same. But of course, that's the whole point of the stimulus package, is to help the small businesses from going bankrupt en masse before we can get this under control.
Joey had some great insight there, and as you can tell, he remains optimistic on the state's rebound once the future becomes clearer. And I also had financial advisor Elise Bidwell come on and talk about how you can invest on the market volatility right now, what to do with your stimulus check, and whether you should borrow from your 401k if you're facing financial hardship. Check it out on Sunday morning at 11:30 a.m. or online at scetv.org/TWISC. And next week, we'll also feature some of Elise on the podcast. And there's a great Bloomberg article that I came across that I put in our show notes just about how the millennial generation continues to be hammered economically. As a millennial, I remember graduating into one of the worst recessions in recent memory. And don't at me, Gen Z, okay? We know this is worse. We get it. But you know what? Anyway, we did. Some of us managed to get through it. Some of us are still recovering from it. But some of us are turning around, and then all of a sudden, here comes a global pandemic that knocked them out of a job or has cool plans to buy a house or go forward with big life decisions. If this is you, if this is your story, give us a shout out and tell us what's happening at 803-563-7169. If you need a job now, consider becoming a corrections officer. The South Carolina Department of Corrections is currently facing a shortage of some 876 officers. I mean, it's so bad that SCDC put out an emergency request for proposals for a recruiter to help capitalize on this unemployment situation going on right now. And just for some clarity, the governor's executive order issued this week for furloughed employees being able to obtain unemployment benefits is for public and private employees. Telehealth has played an important role in South Carolina to help with COVID-19 diagnosis and also treatment for other medical issues during this difficult time. But it's no secret that not everyone in the state has access to high-speed internet, including the most vulnerable of us. South Carolina Public Radio's Thalicia Eady has this report on the digital disparities.
For 3 weeks, the sound of pencil quickly sketching against a pad has helped entertain and inspire kids adjusting to a quarantine lifestyle.
Here in my studio in Massachusetts, in my home, and I know a lot of you guys are.
That's author and illustrator Mo Willems. He hosted video sessions called Lunch Doodles with Mo Willems. In this video, he's showing kids how to draw a character from his famous children's book series, The Pigeon Book. Not long after states started closing schools because of the coronavirus pandemic, online activities and events like this one, some live and interactive, popped all over the internet. Musicians started live streaming many concerts, local meteorologists took to the web to explain weather forecasting, and Emmy Award-winning actress and choreographer Debbie Allen hosted a live Instagram dance class. Rashonda Pratt lives in Columbia. She said her daughter logged on for this one.
My oldest, who's in sixth grade, she missed her dance class and is probably going to miss several other dance classes. So I'm going to pull that up on Instagram so she could participate in that.
From the arts to science, these events all offered different, unique experiences for kids. But what they all had in common was the need for the internet.
I think you will find that the coronavirus has really solidified the need for broadband.
Kathy Schwarting is CEO of Palmetto Care Connections. It's a nonprofit telehealth network located in Bamberg County. They work to increase access to health care in rural parts of the state. But with almost 800,000 students, and that's just within the state's public school system, now adjusting to some form of e-learning, Schwarting says the digital divide that creates barriers to health care is the same in education.
A lot of school districts' classes are now going to be done virtually. What's happening in the rural communities, for example, in Bamberg County, is our teachers are having to go in and they're making hard copies of homework assignments for the kids to do over the next 2 weeks, and the parents are having to come pick those packets up.
More than 463,000 people in South Carolina do not have access to broadband. Schwarting says that's about 172,000 households. That number comes from a 2019 broadband mapping project. The state's Office of Rural Health, along with the Palmetto Hospital Association and Palmetto Care Connections, they all teamed up to hire a consultant to learn exactly where in the state there is adequate access to broadband and where there is not. Some of the communities with the highest levels of no access?
Marlboro County, Chesterfield County, Beaufort, surprisingly, has a lack of access. Oconee.
Making it harder for people in these areas to safely see a doctor during a pandemic, attend online classes, or watch an online concert, or sketch along during a lunchtime drawing session with an award-winning author and illustrator.
The lack of broadband access affects our state from an economic development standpoint, from an educational standpoint, our farming community. All of our new equipment runs off of Wi-Fi. The healthcare community is affected. It affects everybody. It is a necessary piece of infrastructure that is critical if our state is going to grow and progress the way that we should.
On our website at southcarolinapublicradio.org, Palmetto Care Connections CEO Kathy Schwarting explains some of the difficulties in bringing broadband to rural parts of the state and creative solutions being explored to solve the problem.
And it's not just digital disparities that are coming to the forefront in all of this. For the first time, DHEC has released death demographic data, and it shows Black South Carolinians, who make up 27% of the state's population, disproportionately make up 46% of the state's COVID-19 deaths. Dr. Anthony Fauci, director of the National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Diseases, addressed such health inequities this week in a White House briefing.
We have a particularly difficult problem of an exacerbation of a health disparity. We've known literally forever that diseases like diabetes, hypertension, obesity, and asthma are disproportionately afflicting minority populations, particularly the African Americans. Unfortunately, when you look at the predisposing conditions that lead to a bad outcome with coronavirus, the things that get people into ICUs that require intubation and often lead to death, they are just those very comorbidities that are unfortunately disproportionately prevalent in the African American population. So we're very concerned about that. It's very sad. It's nothing we can do about it right now except to try and give them the best possible care to avoid those complications.
Additional DHEC data shows that of the first 2,000 COVID-19 cases in the state, which occurred up to around April 4th, 500 of those cases were hospitalized at the time they reported the illness. So that gives you an idea that a quarter of the cases reported were severe enough for hospitalization, at least at the time of first reporting. Now, this is interesting. There are more cases of COVID-19 being reported by people under 50 than those 61 and over. Now, just so you know, I'm excluding those people aged 51 to 60, which is the group with the highest infection rate. Just to reiterate that this virus affects everyone. Still, the Kaiser Family Foundation found that more than 40% of South Carolinians aged 18 and over are at risk for serious illness from this. But when looking at South Carolina COVID-19 deaths, those aged 61 and above account for 93% of the deaths. Nationwide, however, Dr. Fauci said death estimates originally as high as 240,000 are now expected to be much lower.
What we were predicting with the increase and the real adherence to the physical separation, the guidelines that the vice president talks about, the physical separation, at the same time as we're seeing the increase in deaths, we're seeing rather dramatic decrease in the need for hospitalizations. Like I think yesterday was something like 200 new hospitalizations, and it's been as high as 1,400 at any given time. So that is going in the right direction. I say that, and I always remind myself when I say that, that means that what we are doing is working, and therefore we need to continue to do it. I get questions a lot, Dr. Birks and I, about these numbers, the projections that you went with from 100,000, 200,000, now down to 60,000. That's a sign that when, as I keep saying, when you take the data you have and you reinsert it into the model, the model modifies. Data is real, model is hypothesis. Okay? So that's what you have to do, and that's what I think we're seeing.
So some good news there, but again, we're not out of the woods yet, folks. Remember, we're expecting to peak in South Carolina later this month into early May. If you have to leave your house, again, maintain physical distancing. Use a cloth mask in public. Wash your hands religiously and sanitize frequently touched surfaces. And stop touching your face. Now, this is our wind down section where we want to hear from you. Tell us what's going on in your world. Tell us about your bangs or that new box dye job you've given yourself or what you're doing for Easter. I know I'm going to be missing an Easter egg hunt. Are you a small business owner waiting on funding support? What's daily life like for you? We want to know. This is a different time and it's important that we kind of keep track about all these different things that are slowly becoming our new normal. Tell us at 803-563-7169 and you might just get on the pod. Okay, you'll get on the pod. Now, remember our good friend Roman Sturgis, aka Grand Strand Man, and his voicemail a few episodes back? Well, he surprised us again this week with a longer narrative piece showing just a snippet of his daily life and the new challenges he faces. Take a listen.
AT and Gavin, thank you again for the valuable public service that you provide. This is a virtual postcard. On Saturday, I drove from Myrtle Beach to Pawleys Island to check on my 92-year-old Mimi and my parents who remain in quarantine after returning from a safari in South Africa a little more than a week ago. Highway 501, 31, and 17 were not empty at 4 p.m. on a Saturday, but there certainly wasn't a lot of traffic. It was a beautiful spring afternoon, the kind of weather that we rely on for golf vacations and spring breaks. I hadn't driven the car in several days, so I enjoyed an open-window drive as I moseyed on down to check on my folks. On the way, I stopped at the grocery store to pick up some food for my parents and some batteries for my grandmother. Mimi has worn out her remote control, and her TV has been stuck on Fox News for days. I also needed to sweep her fridge for old food and check her compliance with her meds. Thankfully, the CDC finally issued guidance that people should wear cloth masks in public. So, being the good citizen that I am, I covered up with a bandana, put on my work gloves, grabbed my canvas bag, and went into the store, where I immediately felt like a bank robber. No one was wearing a homemade mask. I saw one older gentleman in the produce section with a surgical mask around his chin. Time out. Recently, I participated in my very first Zoom call with several former teacher colleagues who are now dispersed around the world in Tashkent, Uzbekistan, Lima, Peru, Las Vegas, New York City, New Jersey, and Dubai. Everyone relayed the serious precautions they observed people taking. In Lima, men are allowed to shop on Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, women on Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday, and everything is closed on Sunday. Our friends in Tashkent and Dubai expect this soon, as a way to limit the number of people at the grocery stores. Our experience on the Grand Strand has been relatively lax, and this struck me as notable. At Mimi's, I remind her that we need to stay 6 feet apart, and she tells me she's just happy to see me. We resolve the TV remote issue and change the station from Fox to Smooth Jazz. Mimi tells me that these are the end times, that the good Lord said so, and she doesn't have anywhere to go, so she's not going to bother wearing a mask. She is pleasant, but under the surface, she is irritated. Her normal routine has been completely disrupted. She hasn't had her hair done in 2 weeks. She's got gaps in the gels on her nails, and all of her medical appointments have been canceled. She's a breast cancer survivor, and last month had a tooth extracted. Like all really old people in America, she typically goes to the doctors twice a week. These excursions are the events that she organizes her whole days around, and now she is really feeling the sting of social isolation. Next stop, my parents. I do not go into their house. I drop the groceries on their doorstep and take a seat on a beach chair in the driveway. We haven't seen each other since they left for their trip, and the impulse to embrace is strong. I can tell in particular that my mother would gladly overlook medical protocol for a hug from her son. Mom and Dad tell me how crazy the security and temperature checks were coming from Cape Town to Addis Ababa to Brussels, and then how there was nothing when they arrived in Newark, and even less when they arrived in Charleston. On their drive up 17, passing by Francis Marion State Park, Dad said he was going 50 because the highway was thick with wildlife and especially deer. No traffic means the animals are taking back what was once theirs. Mom and Dad are eager to be done with their 14 days in isolation and to get in a good walk around the neighborhood. In the meantime, they take turns on the exercise bike. It's not exactly prison, but as Americans, and perhaps especially as South Carolinians, where the unofficial state motto is, if at first you don't secede, try again. This idea that we cannot do something that we want to do has taken some getting used to. We are so programmed to do something in response to a crisis. Now the wise course of action is to do nothing, and that feels very strange. On the bright side, I do see neighbors talking to each other more and checking in from a distance. I see a lot of spring cleaning being done. Our canine friends are definitely experiencing a bump. In my neighborhood, dogs are being walked twice, sometimes three times a day, and they're loving it. My little white poodle Lola takes twice as long to check her P-mail as she did last month. There's just so much more news. Our pace of life has changed dramatically, and maybe for a lot of us, that is a blessing in disguise. Am I the only one feeling hyper-mindful about my screen time? But there is also the familiar feeling of tracking a hurricane. Are we going to be hit? How bad will it be? What will the damage be? The extended anxiety is grueling. My question now is, after this is all over, will the survivors take advantage of the perspective we've gained from this crazy experience, or will we go right back to our old habits? Reporting from Myrtle Beach, this is Grand Strand Man for the South Carolina Lead.
What an absolutely wonderful piece right there, Roman. Thank you so much again. We'd love to hear from other folks as well. You can make this into a fun family project. Maybe you just need a nice distraction, or perhaps you want to show off your storytelling skills in this self-isolation time. Hey, we're here for it. Bring it to us. We just ask that you limit it to 5 minutes or less, record it in a quiet place, and shoot it to us at sclead@scetv.org. Yes, that's right. We've just deputized you as citizen reporters for the Lead. Go forth and prosper. And just a disclaimer, the views and opinions of the South Carolina Lead voicemail box do not necessarily reflect those of South Carolina Public Radio. So, needless to say, in this time of quarantine, we've all been busy. I've been on my phone a lot still, like normal. And so recently, I set the screen time number setting on my iPhone and looked back and saw just how many hours I've been spending on my phone. 7 hours on average. I think it's higher than that. I'm estimating it's like seven or something. And that's just on my phone, not counting me sitting in front of my computer or any other thing. So I'm just glad I've been going out and taking walks with my phone, of course.
Are you disgusted by it?
I think I'm just aware.
I think you're disgusted by yourself a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, you are, but and it breaks it down by like how much time you spend on certain things too, like social media and things like that. So I'm like, all right, well, I guess so. Do you have any idea how much time you spend on your phone?
No, a lot. Just mainlining Twitter.
Yeah.
I need to know. Need to know what's happening. Because I'm sick.
If it happened an hour ago, you're embarrassingly behind the curve.
Yeah. Only freaks don't sort by latest tweets, okay?
I just tweet duck into my veins. Obviously, I've been working on my home office recording studio.
Yeah, where are you recording?
Bedroom. in my second bedroom. I put some more plants in here for better airflow. We had to do a workplace sexual harassment online training the other day. And I'm
killed
like,
it.
Who complained? Who complained for my work from home situation here that I had to do online training?
It was the plants.
Apparently, everyone had to do it. So everyone's still keeping it up. But the plants... You know, you repot a plant, and then all of a sudden you get an email. What am I doing here? What have you been doing, AT?
What have I been doing? I've been parenting my cats.
I was like, what? Okay.
My cat, Chippy, he's in a relationship with several faucets in the house, and he can't stop licking butter. And
that
the
makes
other
two
one,
of us.
Yeah.
I don't eat it. I lick it.
And Yogi loves to eat flowers, and that's great.
You're aware that money for the paychecks does not include, you get $500 per kid. That doesn't include your cats. You're aware of that.
I had to explain that to my wife, Caitlin, extensively. She didn't believe. She was like, but they're babies.
It's going to come as a shock to a lot of pet parents out there, I think.
I also watched Starship Troopers front to back yesterday.
Oh my God.
If anyone wants to go live peak 1996,
who
I suggest
doesn't?
Starship Troopers.
Who doesn't?
I mean, it was great. Rico!
Like a poor man's Alien.
Oh, worse than that.
Well, let us know what you're doing. Let us know if you are stunned to find out that you can't claim your pets as kids for the money. And again, keep tuning into the pod. We love hearing from you guys, and we know... you're getting a lot out of this. We've been seeing our numbers tick up, and we appreciate you listening. And you can keep up with us on scetv.org, southcarolinapublicradio.org, and also don't forget to support your local newspapers. I know we haven't had our fellow guests on in a while, but they're out there hustling, making it work too, so check them out. And once you get your fill of news, take a break from it, put the phone down. Talking 7 hours of screen time here, I'm aware. But if you do get back on your phone, which we're all going to do, follow me on Twitter @GavinJackson for the latest. And I'll also let you know if the governor is holding a press conference that day, which is always carried on SCETV and South Carolina Public Radio platforms, usually around 4:30. Now, we're here for you, our lead community, throughout this week and as the situation continues to develop. We are in full-scale hashtag lead laugh love mode together. For the South Carolina Lead, I'm Gavin Jackson. Thanks for listening, and be well, South Carolina.